מסכת בבא מציעא, דף מם א', נו משנה, המפקיד חבית אצל חברו, ולא ייחדו לה בעלים מקום, וטלטלה ונשתברה. אם מתוך ידו נשתברה לסורקו, חייב לסורקה פטור. אם משניחה הנשברה, בין לסורקו, בין לסורקה פטור. Someone owns a barrel of oil, say, and he gives it to his friend to watch, so he's the shomer. Now, the owner of the barrel does not designate a specific place that the shomer has to keep it. Here, you just keep it, hold on to this on your premises, and watch it wherever you think is safe. Now, if the shomer moves it, and while he's moving it, it breaks, is he liable or not? That's going to depend on two factors. One, is he holding it currently or not? And second, is he moving it for his own sake or for the barrel's sake? So here's how we combine the two possibilities. If he's holding on to the barrel while it breaks, and also he moved it for his own purposes, the shomer decided he wants to either take some of the oil, steal it, or climb on the barrel, or he wants the space that it's in, whatever. He's doing it for his own good, and it's in his hand while he's moving it. That's liable. He shouldn't have done that. However, if he moves it for the sake of the barrel, let's say he put the barrel in some place, but now it's leaking over there, it's not safe over there anymore, and so he wants to move it for its own safety, then he's patur, even though it broke in his hands. But he's being a good shomer, he's moving it in order to save it. However, if after he deposited, he moved it from place A to place B, and that's it, he put it down, he's not holding it anymore. In that case, it doesn't matter. Even if he moved it with intention to steal it, to use it for his own good, which he shouldn't have done, but now he put it down in another different safe place, even if it's not the same as before. So even if he did it for himself, and all the more so, if he did it for the sake of the barrel, he is not liable. So we see in part A, because the owner did not designate a place, once he puts it down in a different place, he put it down. It doesn't matter if it's in a different place because the owner did not designate a place anyway. This is in contrast to the second half. ייחדו לה בעלים מקום, וטלטלה ונשברה, בין מתוך ידו ובין משניחה, לסורקו חייב, לסורקה פטור. If the owner of the barrel said, I want you to wash this for me in this specific place, I want you to put it in this closet over here. And then the shomer decided to move it and it broke. In that case, whether it was in his hand or whether he already put it down in a, we'll see if this means put it down in the same place or in a different place. Let's understand right now, he put it in a different place than was designated. So then it depends. If he did it for his own sake, then he is liable. If he did it for the benefit of the barrel, he is patur. So in other words, if the owner designated a place, then we're more stringent in one of the four possibilities. And that is, if he moved it for his own sake, but it's not in his hand anymore, in the sefa, he is liable. In the resha, he is not liable. And the reason for that is because in the resha, the owner did not designate a place. Doesn't matter. As long as he put it down, even if it's in a different place, he was in place A, now it's in place B, but he put it down. And it's a different safe place, but it's also safe. So once he put it down, that's it, he's not liable anymore. Even if while moving it, he shouldn't have moved it because he did it for his own purposes. Maybe he was going to steal it, but now he put it down, he says, no, I'm not going to steal it. So then that's fine. Whereas in the sefa, because the owner said, I want you to put it in this closet, and he moved it to a different closet for his own purposes and put it in a different place. So now, who asked you to move it? Even though he put it down and then it broke afterwards, still he's liable because he didn't put it back in the same place. But if it's for the sake of the barrel, even though it's true, maybe the owner said, I put it in this closet, but turns out now a leak sprung up in that closet, so he wants to move it for its own sake, in that case, patur, even if he's still holding it, because that's a good shomer, he's moving it in order to save the barrel. That's the Mishnah. Now, Gemara Hamane, who is the author of this Mishnah? Rabbi Shmuel hi, damar lo ba'inan dat ba'alim, detanya, hagonev tale min ha'eder v'sela min ha'kis, l'makom sheganav yachzir dibre Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva omer, sarich dat ba'alim. So the author we propose must be Rabbi Shmuel, who says that if a thief steals something, and then he decides he feels bad, he wants to return it, According to Rabbi Shmuel, he can just return it without informing the owner. For example, let's say I go and I steal your car from your driveway. At night, you don't see it. I go, I steal the car, I'm able to break in. Now, I'm driving down the block and I say, you know what? I shouldn't have done that. I want to return it. So let's say I go still in the middle of the night. I return it. I put it back exactly where it was, right? And I even fill up the gas tank of any gas that I used. So I didn't steal anything. I put it back just as it was. So is that sufficient? Is that called I returned it? And now that's it. I'm not responsible for it. That's what Rabbi Ishmael says. I don't have to tell the owner. I put it back in a safe place. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, not so. If once you steal it, then you have to go and inform the owner, listen, I stole it, I'm sorry, I am returning it. If I just put it back in the driveway and don't tell the owner, then it's not called returning the item. And if something happens to it, I am responsible, because once I drive it, once I steal it, I take responsibility for anything that happens to it. So that's what we say again in the Baraita. And this is not in the Kenata example of a car, but rather a lamb. Someone steals a lamb from a flock, or steals from money, some money from a purse. And then he decides to change his mind and put it back. So can he just put it back in the pen or put it back in the purse? Yes, Rabbi Ishmael says, just slip it back to a pickpocket, just like he took it out. He put it back in, and as long as it's in a safe spot, you don't have to inform the owner that it was stolen. So if you put it back, and let's say now someone else steals it, so now the first thief is not responsible. I put it back. But Rabbi Akiva says, not so. You have to inform the owner. Listen, I stole it. I am putting it back. I hereby return the item. Now, what does this have to do with our Mishnah? So we propose that it's the same thing. We're going to focus on the Resha only now. Make believe the Sefer doesn't exist. We'll bring it in a minute. But focusing only on the Resha, if someone gives me a barrel and doesn't tell me where to put it, now I put it in closet A. And now I decide, you know what, I think I'm going to steal it. So I move it, and it's in my hand with intention to steal it. But then I say, you know what, I'm not going to steal it, and I put it down in closet B. So now I moved it from one place to the other. So according to the Rabbi Akiva, now I moved it, and I moved it with intention to steal. In order to return it, I have to actually go to the owner and say, listen, I moved your barrel, and I was stealing with intention to steal. I stole your barrel. I want to return it, and I have to inform you that I'm returning it. Until I do that, I'm responsible if it breaks. So therefore, you see, the Resha cannot be Rabbi Akiva. It must be Rabbi Ishmael. That I don't, even though I stole it, but now I put it back down and say, I'm not going to steal it. As long as I put it in a safe place, that's called returning it. And some damage that happens afterwards, I am not responsible for. So we see that the Resha follows the opinion of Rabbi Ishmael. But now we challenge this authorship, and we say, if in fact the Resha here is Rabbi Ishmael, then why does it talk about only a case where the owner did not designate a spot, even if he did designate a spot? In other words, according to Rabbi Ishmael, as long as you return an item to the spot where it was, so then it doesn't matter if the owner designated or didn't designate. Even why does it say here, and the owner did not designate a spot? If the owner did designate a spot, and then I moved it with intention to steal it, but then I returned it to the spot where he designated it, also I would be patur, because according to Bishmael, I don't have to inform the owner that I stole it. I just have to return it to the proper place. So why does it only say the law in the Resha of that the owner did not designate a spot? Again, make believe we don't have the Sefer right now. And so the answer is, Lami ba'ya kamar, Lami ba'ya yichadu demkomahu, ela filo lo yichadu delav mekomahu, la ba'ina dat ba'alim. In fact, the Mishnah is being written in a, it's not necessary to say this case, even the other case. So as follows, not only in a case where the owner designated a spot, that for sure, because in that case, that's true, the Shomer removed it from the spot it's supposed to be in, but he returned it to the spot that what originally was in, that was designated. So for sure, that return will be a good return. That's like, you know, if I take the car out of the driveway and I put it back in the exact same spot. So that is considered a good official returning, according to Rabbi Ishmael. But not only that, the Mishnah is giving a bigger chidush. Even if the owner did not designate a spot, in which case, if I put it down, anywhere I put it down is not necessarily the spot that the owner wants it. Whether I put it down in the same spot or I move it from closet A to closet B, as long as it's still a safe spot, even there, that's considered returning, and I don't have to tell the owner. That would be like the case of the thief of the car. I took it out of the driveway over here, and I put it back in his other driveway of his other house. As long as it's in his home, in a safe spot, that is considered returning. So in fact, according to Bishmael, it wouldn't matter whether it was a designated, whether the owner designated where it should be or not. According to Bishmael, if I took it with intention to steal, but I put it back and now I left it, I'm not holding it and it breaks, I'm not responsible because I go back to being a shomer, I'm not a thief anymore. Okay, so the resha works out well. Emasefa, now we bring in the second part. Ichadula ba'ali makom, v'tiltela v'nishpera, ben mitoch yado ben mishin hinicha, l'sorko chayav l'sorka patur. Atan Rabbi Akiva damar ba'inan da'at ba'alim. In the sefa, the owner says, I want you to put it in this closet A over here. And then the owner took it intending to steal it. And then it breaks. Whether if it's in his hand or whether he put it down, if he took it for his own purpose, meaning to steal, then he is liable. Now, why is he liable if he put it down already? Must be, this is Rabbi Akiva, who says that it's not considered returning until I tell the owner, listen, I stole this, but I'm returning it. Even if I put it back in the same spot, that's not called returning, and therefore I am liable. So we see, right, this l'sorko chayav, even after I put it down, shows that the sefa is Rabbi Akiva. Now let's focus on the sefa only. If the sefa is Rabbi Akiva, then why does it specify only a case where the owner designated the spot where it should be? Even if he didn't designate, says, listen, you put it anywhere that you think is safe, you can put it anywhere on your property, just watch it. That, according to Rabbi Akiva, the law would be the same, that if I moved it and then put it back in the same place, or put it back somewhere else, doesn't matter, and it doesn't really matter if it was designated or not designated, as long as I didn't tell the owner that I'm returning it, it's not considered returning. So in any case that I stole it, I would be responsible for it breaking until I actually tell the owner. It doesn't matter where I put it. So why specify only one case of where the owner designated the spot? And the answer is, Lami baya kamar, Lami baya lo yichadu la delav mekomahu, ela filu yichadu named mekomahu ba'inan da'at ba'alim. The Mishnah is speaking in the same format of, I don't need to tell you this, obviously this case, but even more so the other case. It's not mentioning the more obvious case, where the owner did not designate a spot, because there's no spot that is designated. So it's harder to return something if there's no designated spot. So for sure there's no return. If I took it from some spot and put it back in any spot, wherever it is, there's no designated spot. So no spot in my house is considered like his domain. And so for sure there, it's not considered a return. The chidush of Rabbi Akiva, that's why he says, even if the owner designated a spot, in which case it's kind of like his driveway. This is his domain. It's true, I took it, but I put it back in the same spot that he wanted it in. You might think there that maybe Rabbi Akiva would agree that this is considered a return. Not so. Even there, you have to tell the owner, I stole it, but I put it back in the right spot, and only then is it considered returning. If it's not an official return, then I, the thief, am responsible for anything that happens to it. So now that we figured that out, we have a question. Resha Rabbi Ishmael, Vesefa Rabbi Akiva, the first half of Rabbi Ishmael, the second half author is authored by Rabbi Akiva. This doesn't make sense. And we say, In Damar Rabbi Yochanan, Man Dimitargem Li Chavit Aliba Dechatana, Mobalna Mane Batre Lebe Masota. And we say, indeed, we have made a proper analysis. We didn't make any logical mistakes in the analysis above, because even Rabbi Yochanan made the same analysis, the great Rabbi Yochanan of Eretz Yisrael, and he in fact challenged anybody about this subject. He says, if anyone can explain to me this case regarding the barrel, according to one Tana, anyone, pick all according to the Rabbi Ishmael, or can you explain the entire Mishnah according to the Rabbi Akiva? If you can do that for me, I will be your servant, and I will carry your garments to the bathhouse for you, if anyone can explain to me. So you see, the Rabbi Yochanan himself could not figure out how to reconcile the two halves of the Mishnah. All right, so we know this was a really good question. But now we're going to propose three answers. They all work along the same lines. The Gemara is going to develop them for a little bit before it explains how it actually answers the question. So, Tirgema Rabbi Yaakov bar Abba Kameh Derav Shenetala Amenat Legozla. Tirgema Rabbi Natan bar Abba Kameh Derav Shenetala Amenat Lishloach Ba Yad. Rabbi Yaakov bar Abba, was teaching this before Rav. Rabbi Yochanan was in Eretz Yisrael. Rav is in Bavel. So you see, these are now a parallel discussion. Rabbi Yochanan couldn't figure it out. In Bavel, they had the same question. And Rabbi Yaakov bar Abba there said before Rav, they were talking about a case where the Shomer took it with intention to steal it, to rob the owner. Whereas Rabbi Natan bar Abba, Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Natan, they're brothers, they seem to be brothers, both teaching before Rav, and he says when the Shomer is moving it with an intention to lishloach bayad, to misappropriate it. That's a little different from stealing it. Stealing is when you want to take the whole thing for yourself. To misappropriate means you're going to take just part of it for yourself, like as a barrel of oil, and my intention is only to take some of the oil or some item, and I'm going to use the item, but I'm not going to take the whole thing, right? I'm just going to use some of it and then put the rest back. So these are slightly different.
במאי קמי פלגה בשליחות יד סריחה חיסרון. מנדמה לגוזלה כסבה שליחות יד סריחה חיסרון, ומנדמה לשלוח בה יד כסבה שליחות יד אינה סריחה חיסרון.
Now, why does the two bad abbas disagree about whether it's stealing it or misappropriating it? Because they disagree on a related issue, whether misappropriating something in order to be liable, in order to actually acquire it, do you actually have to cause it a loss? I'll explain. According to the first opinion of Rabbi Yaakov bar Abba, he says it's a case where you stole it, meaning you took the barrel intending to keep the whole thing for yourself. It has to be that case because he thinks that if your intention is only take a little bit of the oil and then put it back, then you don't actually acquire it. You're not actually liable until you take a little bit of the oil. So if my intention is just to borrow this thing, take a little bit and put the rest back, but I don't actually take it and then I put it back, I didn't steal it. So therefore, Rabbi Yaakov says, it must be a case where I intended to steal the whole thing. And once I intend to steal the whole thing, so now I am liable and I have to put it back. And then once I put it down, then I won't be liable anymore. But if it was only misappropriating, then I didn't even steal it because I didn't take any part of it. That's why he says that. Whereas Rabbi Natan, he thinks that in the case of Shlichut Yad, I am liable even once I move it. Even if I didn't take a little bit of oil yet, once I move the barrel with intention to take some of it, I am already liable, and therefore I could talk about that case. Rabbi Natan would agree. If I have intention to take the whole thing, also I would be liable. But he can say, even if I have my intention just to take it and take a little bit of it, still I am liable, I am a thief, I acquire responsibility for it the moment I take it. Okay, so that's the subdivision between these two opinions, but basically they're similar, they're along the same lines. It's a case where the Shomer intended to steal it. This is the way we understood the Mishnah the whole time. So they're not really adding anything, they're really more explaining the Mishnah. We'll see in a minute how this answers Rabbi Yochanan's question. But first, we have a third explanation. Matkif l'Rav Sheshet. Midi netala katane, tiltela katane. Rav Sheshet says, it doesn't say that the Shomer took it. It only says he moved it. If he was stealing, whether stealing the whole thing or misappropriating it, then it should have used the verb, and he took it. But here it just says he moved it.
אלא מרב ששת הכה במעסקינן כגון שטלטלה להביא עליה גוזלות. וכסבר שואל שלא מידת גזלן הווה.
Rather, we're talking about a case where the shomer moved the barrel, not because he was going to take the barrel or you take any of the oil at all. Rather, he moved it to use as a step stool. He wanted to climb on it, stand on it, so we could get some birds from a nest. And he thinks that someone who borrows something without permission is called a thief, right? If I see your lawnmower in front of your house, I'm like, oh, you're not using it. I'm going to borrow it and I'll put it back. So I'm not stealing, right? I'm just using it for a little while and I'll put it back. So he says, no, that's stealing, right? Once you take it, even with intention just to borrow and put it back, then you acquire it and you're responsible for it, the same as a thief. And so Rav Sheshat says to him at this case. Okay, the point is that all three are actually similar. They're all three different types of the ways that the Shomer would steal something. Now we'll explain how we answer the question.
V'chula Rabbi Yishmael hi v'sefa shenicha b'makom she'ena mekoma.
The whole Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. We saw that Esha fits perfectly with Rabbi Yishmael, and the sefa is the case where the owner designated a spot. I took it from the spot with intention to steal the whole thing, misappropriate it, use it for myself as a borrower, any of the three, pick whichever one you want. I took it with intention to steal, and I put it back, but I put it down not in the same place that it was designated. And therefore, even Rabbi Yishmael would agree that I am liable because I didn't put it back in the same spot. If I put it back in the same spot, then Rabbi Yishmael would say, fine, right? I took it, I put it back in the place where the owner told me to put it back. So that's like his domain. It would be the same as putting it back on his property. If it's really his property, if I was a thief and put it back on his property, I could put it anywhere on his property. But here, he told me to put this item, to shomer this item on this closet A. I removed it with intention to steal, but I put it back in exactly the same place. I don't have to tell the owner that I put it back, right? Because it's Yishmael. And so it's considered returning it. And that's why if I put it back in the same place, I would be patur. Or in the resha, if he didn't designate a spot, then it doesn't matter where I put it. As long as I put it somewhere that is equally safe, then that's fine. I am chayav, however, even going to be Shmael, if I remove it from the spot that the shomer said to put it in, and I put it in a different spot, even though it's a safe place, doesn't matter. That's not the spot of the owner, not where he wanted it. And that's not considered returning. And therefore, if I moved it to steal it and I put it back not in the same spot that the owner designated, then I haven't returned it, and therefore I am liable. Good. So we explained, according to the students of Rav and Rav Sheshat, how the whole Mishnah can be according to Rabbi Yishmael. Now, Rabbi Yochanan, what was his dilemma? Was this so difficult to figure out? And the answer is Rabbi Yochanan did not agree with this reading, because hinnicha bimkoma mashma. Rabbi Yochanan read in the Sefa, where it says that he put it back. Pinicha sounds like he put it back in the same spot. And so if he took it and put it back in the same spot that the owner designated for it, then according to Bishmael, that should be considered a good returning. And so therefore, Rabbi Yochanan said, since he put it back in the same spot and still he's liable, the sefa must be to be akiva. Because he's reading the word hinicha in that way, he said, the resha is Rabbi Yishmael, the sefa is Rabbi Akiva, and he did not have a way to reconcile it. However, these other three amoraim from Bavel, they assumed that the word hinicha means he put it down anywhere, not in the designated spot. And therefore, even according to Bishmael, he is liable. Okay, so that's the end of that problem. And now we're going to dig in to this question of Shelichut Yad that we brought up.
Itmar, Rav Levi, Chadama Shelichut Yad Siricha Chisaron, Vechadama Shelichut Yad Ena Siricha Chisaron.
Rav and Levi disagreed. We don't know who said what. But one of them said that if I misappropriate something, I am not liable and I do not take responsibility until there's some loss. If it's oil and it is 10 liters of oil, I intend to take one of the 10, I am not liable until I actually take one of the 10. But the other opinion said that as soon as I pick up the barrel with intention to even just to take some of it, I am already a thief. I am already liable. Even if I didn't take any oil out, just the second I move it
with intention to steal, I am already a thief, I am already liable if something happens to it. Now, which one said which? Tistayem derav hu damash shlichut yad ena sricha chisaron. Detanya. Ro'e shaya ro'e edro v'hniach edro uba la'ir. Uba ze v'taraf, uba ari, v'daras patur. Hiniach maklo v'tarmi lo aleha chayav. So we can figure it out from the following braita that a shepherd, we can figure out that Rav is the one that says that if I'm misappropriating something, even without taking any of it, the second I move it, I am already liable. How do I know that Rav says I am already liable? From his interpretation of the following baraita. If a shepherd was shepherding some a flock, and he left it alone and went to the city, that's okay, he's allowed to do that. They're taken care of, they're pasturing there, and he can take a break and go to the city. And then a wolf comes and takes it away, or a lion comes and devours it. The shepherd is not liable. He's not liable because even if he was around, this is something beyond the circumstances. He wasn't going to be able to stop a lion from coming and killing it. And so therefore, he is not liable. However, if he left his staff and his satchel on the animal, meaning he's using the animal, right? He's using the animal for his own purposes, then that's considered stealing. Well, he wasn't intending to steal the animal. He's just using it for a while, and then he'll give it back. So this is shlichut yad, and because he left it there, he is liable. Now, about this Mishnah, when we discussed it, we said the following. And when we analyzed, we said, wait, just because he left his staff and his satchel on the animal, that makes him liable? After all, he took them off already. I mean, if he was traveling and went back to the city, didn't he already take them off? So he put them on, he took them off, so now he put it back where it was. So he's not using the animal anymore, so why should it be liable when the lion comes and devours it? So Rav explained, oh, it's because he left it on there. He left them on it while he went to the city, he left his staff on it, and so therefore, you see, he's still using it. Now we ask about that. But even if it's still on it, so what? That shouldn't be considered stealing it. Just putting something on an animal is not an act of acquisition. He didn't pull the animal, and you can only acquire an animal if you pull it, physically pull it, call it over to you, make it move. And so just putting it on it, he didn't. It's not yet stealing. It's not shlichut yad. V'amar Rav Shmuel barav amar bar Yitzchak amar Rav. So Rav explained, and we're all following the opinion of Rav here. And so he says, it's talking about a case where the shepherd hit it with a staff and made it run before him. That's why by doing that, so he put his stuff on it. So now it's holding, it's carrying his stuff, and he hit it with a rod and made it move. So now he acquired the animal for his own use, and that's why he is liable and still there when he goes away, still there when the lion eats it. That's why he is liable, even though it's something beyond his control, but he stole it and hasn't returned it, and therefore he's liable. Now we close out the proof. Now when he puts his stuff on it and he hits it and makes it move, he didn't take away its value. The animal is not worth any less. And nevertheless, we say that he is liable. So we see that Rav must be the one that thinks that when you take something with intention to misappropriate it, even though you haven't caused it any its value to go down, in the case of the oil, even though you haven't taken any of the oil, once you move it and take acquisition of it with intention to use it for yourself, you are already liable. So isn't that a good conclusion? And then we say, no, the opposite works better. Emma shikicha b'makel. Maybe he'd actually caused it to become weakened when he hit it with the staff. and he did diminish its value. And actually that makes more sense because it says he hit it with a staff, not just with his hand. If it's just to make it move, you just slap it with your hand and it'll move a little, and that would be enough to acquire it. The fact that it says with a stick, so hitting with a stick means that now you cause the animal to be worth a little less, a little bit of an injury, and that's why he now is liable for misappropriating it, because he did cause it a loss. Actually, Rav is the one that says that someone who's going to misappropriate a thing is only responsible for the item when he actually takes some of it or causes it a loss. Causes a loss, but if he moves it without doing anything yet, without making it worth less, then he did not yet steal it. He is not yet responsible. And then we can deduce that since Rav is the one that says that you have to make it worse in order to be responsible, Levi is the one that says you're responsible for stealing it and for anything that happens to it immediately, even if it did not suffer a loss. My tama de Levi. What is the Levi's reasoning? Amar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Yoseh bar Nehorai. Mishuna shelichut yad hamura beshomer sachar, mishelichut yad hamura beshomer chinam. Vani omer ena mishuna. So Rabbi Yochanan, name of Rabbi Yoseh ben Nehorai, says that the law of misappropriation, shelichut yad, that's mentioned by Shomer Sachar, means something different, teaches something different than the law that's mentioned by Shomer Chinam. But Rabbi Yochanan says, that was only the opinion of Rabbi Yoseh ben Nehorai. I disagree. I think that they are not teaching two different things, they're teaching the same thing. Okay, we have to explain this. First, let's look at the Pesukim. In Shemot 22, we have a paragraph that talks about Shomer Chinam, and it says here that if it's stolen and you can't find the thief, so then they come to the judge, and the shomer has to make a vow. Im lo shalach yado im lechad ra'ehu. Here's the key, that he did not misappropriate it for himself. So the shomer chinam can take a vow. He didn't take it. He didn't misappropriate it, and then he would not be liable. Incidentally, if it turns out that he was lying and he did steal it, and he's found to be so, he has to pay double, right? Whoever, asher yishun Elohim, yeshalem shenayim l'da'ayhu. Because he got out of paying, he could pay zero by taking a vow, because he's only shomer chinam. If he's caught, then he's the thief, he has to pay double. The next paragraph, however, is regarding a shomer sachar. And here it says also, if something happens to it, if it dies or is taken away without his negligence, so then he makes a vow that he did not misappropriate it, and so he would be liable, and no matter what, if it was stolen, lost, or stolen, but he would not be liable if it died or if it was circumstances beyond his control. And in that case, if it is stolen, so the thief would have to pay double. In this case, if he himself stole it, then he'd only have to pay one, because he has to pay single no matter what. If he claims, oh, it was stolen, you're shomer sachar, so you're liable to pay. So then he'd pay. Even if you find out that he really stole it, well, he already paid for it, so he doesn't have to pay double. Okay, so in general, a shomer sachar has a higher level of responsibility, and therefore he cannot get out of theft or loss just by making a vow. But in both of them, it says the word im lo shalach yado, that he has to guarantee with a vow that he did not misappropriate it himself. So now the question is, why do we need this to be said in both cases? So let's explain first the opinion of Rabbi Yoseh ben Nehorai, who will explain the view of Levi as follows. My mishuna lo te'amei shlichut yad b'shomer sachar v'tetei mishomer chinam. Ma shomer chinam shepatur b'gneva v'aveda shalach ba yad chayav. Shomer sachar shechayav b'gneva v'aveda lo kol sheken. L'may ilchata keti bin hu rachamana lo malach shlichut yad ena sericha chisaron. So what does it mean that they're teaching two different things? As follows. You don't need to tell me the law of misappropriation regarding Shomer Sachar, because I can figure it out from Shomer Chinam. If a Shomer Chinam who is less liable, because he doesn't have to pay if it's lost or stolen, and yet if he misappropriated it himself, he is liable. Then misappropriated, I mean, even if he didn't steal the whole thing, he's just going to use it, he is liable. So all the more so a shomer sachar, who is more responsible, because he has to pay for loss and theft. All the more so, he will be responsible for misappropriation. So I don't need to say the one regarding Shomer Sachar. So why is it written in the Torah? To teach me this law, that when you misappropriate, you are responsible, even if you didn't make it cause it a loss. You already have to pay, and that is the proof for Levi's opinion. Okay, but Rabbi Yochanan himself disagrees. So Rabbi Yochanan, his own opinion is going to be the same as Rav. V'ani omed enam shuna k'rabbi el azar damar da veda achat hi. And I agree. I think that both clauses in Shomer Chen and Shomer Sachar are teaching the same thing. And I follow Rabbi el azar, who says both of them are the same. Mai da veda achat, what does that mean? Mishum deika lemifrach, mal shomer chinam sheken meshalem tashlume kefel betoen ta'anat ganav. You cannot make the kal vachomer that you had here, because although it's true in one sense that shomer sachar is liable for theft and loss, on the other hand, there is a scenario in which a shomer chinam will have to pay more, and that's if he denies that he says it was stolen, he denies that he took it. And then he's found to be a liar, he has to pay double, whereas a Shomer Sachar does not have to pay double. So there's a case where Shomer Chinam is more liable than Shomer Sachar. And therefore, you cannot make a Kal Vachomer to learn Shelichut Yad from Shomer Chinam to Shomer Sachar. And that's why you need the Torah to tell you the law of Shelichut Yad, that both the Shomer Chinam and the Shomer Sachar are responsible. So I need them for that law, it's in itself. And I don't have an extra one to teach me that a misappropriation is responsible even if it did not cause a loss. And that's the reasoning for Rav, that if you just took it but didn't yet cause it a loss, you are not responsible for it. The first opinion that the Biochanan brought, that used this Kal Vachomer, right? That's Rabbi Yosef ben Nehorai. He thought the Kal Vachomer is good anyway, because he thinks that paying the principal without a Shivu'ah is more stringent. That Shomer Sachar, if he says it was stolen, has to for sure guarantee that he has to pay the principal. So that is more stringent than the Shomer Chinam, who just has to give a vow. If he's found to be guilty, then he'll have to pay double. But more than likely, he won't be found to be guilty. He'll get away with it and doesn't have to pay anything. And so the Kal Vachomer stands. All right, so now we brought the explanations of the two opinions. Rava Amar, lo ta'ameh shelichut yad, lo b'shomer chinam, ve'lo b'shomer sachar, ve'tete mishoel. Ma shoel d'ledat be'alim ka'abed shalach ba'yad hayav, shomer chinam ve'shomer sachar, lo kol sheken. So now we have yet a third opinion about how we learn shelichut yad. And Rav says, you know what? They're both redundant. I don't need to know the law of misappropriation, not regarding shomer chinam and not shomer sachar. And I could derive it from shoel, which is the next paragraph there in Sefer Shemot. Since a shoel who takes the item with the knowledge of the owner, he said, hey, can I borrow this item and use it? And yet a shoel, as soon as he takes the item, even before he actually uses it, he is liable for whatever happens, everything that a shoel is liable for, right, including ones. So he is liable for taking it. So too, since that's true for a shoel, that would also be true for shomer chinam and shomer sachar, all the more so that when they do shelichut yad, they're taking an item without permission of the owner. The owner didn't say that they can use it. They're just supposed to watch it. So they should be more responsible. So if the shoel is responsible for anything that happens to the item, as soon as he takes ownership of it, even before he used it, all the more so, shomer chinam, shomer sachar, they are going to be liable for shelichut yad. So Rava says, I can learn the law, basic law of shelichut yad from shoel. So lama ne'emar, so why does it say shelichut yad in shomer chinam and shomer sachar? Chada lomar lecha shelichut yad en sricha chisaron. Okay, one of them is to teach me that I take any ownership even before I cause it any loss. Just picking it up, that already, I'm already liable, like Shoel, and it doesn't have to be that I took some of it or made its value less. I am already liable.
ואידך שלא תאמר דיו לבא מן הדין להיות כנידון. משהו בבעלים פטור, אף שומר חינם ושומר שכר בבעלים פטור.
And the other one, to know that I'm not going to apply the law of dayo. Dayo means if you make a kavachomer, in this case from Shoel, so if there's a limitation on the source of the law, which is true regarding Shoel, then I would apply that also to the target. So in this case, a Shoel has a limitation in that if the owner of that, let's say a lawnmower, the owner of the lawnmower is working for me on my own property at the same time that I am borrowing his lawnmower, if something happens that's onus, it got out of my control, I am not liable, even though generally a shoel is liable for onus, but if the owner is there with me, then I am not liable. And so I might think that, listen, this is a limitation, and I learned the whole law of Kav HaChomer from this, so maybe for Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar also, if the owner is there on my premises while I am watching it and while I take it and take it for myself and do shalichut yad, so then I would not be liable. But this is not true. That's why it says the other law of the other instance of shalichut yad to teach me that if I'm a shomer and I misappropriate it, even if the owner happens to be working for me at that time, still I am liable. Good. Well, man da amas shalichut yad tzricha chisaron, hanetarte shalichut yad lamali. But now, according to the opinion that says misappropriation, I'm only responsible if there is a loss, then why do I need these two instances of shlichut yad and shomer chinam and shomer sachar? In other words, in the other opinion that said shlichut yad, I am responsible even if there's no loss, so I needed one of the instances to teach me that I am responsible even if there's no loss. But according to the opinion that says that I'm only responsible if there is a loss, so I don't need one of the instances for that. So now I have two extra ones because I can learn the basic law from Shoel. So what do I need them for? And the answer is chadash elo tomar dayo laba min hadin la'ilot kanidon. One is the same as what we said before, that it's to teach me the limitation of dayo does not apply to this case. And if the owner of the item is working for me, when something happens, then I am still liable for doing the shlichut yad. Ve'idach, and the other one that's extra is to teach me the following. V'nikra ba'al habayit Elohim lishbu'ah. Talmud lishbu'ah eno ela ledin. Ne'mna shlichut yad lemata. Ne'mna shlichut yad lema'la. Ma'la lan lishbu'ah afkan lishbu'ah. This braita quotes the law regarding Shomer Chinam that says if the Shomer Chinam claims that it was stolen, so he will go before Elohim. That means to go before a judge. Before a judge for what? That means for a vow. In other words, if he makes a vow that he did not steal it and then turns out that he is guilty, then he has to pay double, only if he made a vow. Now, is that true? Is it only if he made a vow? Maybe if he only came to court. Let's say he didn't make a vow. He came to court and says it was stolen. And after he makes that claim in court, even before he makes a vow, he's found out to be a liar. Maybe then also he has to pay double. So we say, no, that's not true. Because look, it says shlichut yad down later on regarding shomer sachar. And it says the same words of shlichut yad regarding shomer chinam. And just like for shomer sachar, it's a vow, because in that case it says it actually explicitly. Look at the pisukim over here. It says shivuat Adonai tiyeh ben shenehem. So here for sure it means taking a vow. So too, going before a court in shomer chinam doesn't just mean presenting a claim and then you'd be liable to pay double. No, if you just said a claim that it was stolen but didn't swear, then, and you're found to be guilty, you don't have to pay double. Only if you make a vow that you didn't take it, and you are found out to be a liar, then you have to pay double. So I need the word shlichut yad regarding shomer chinam to teach me that. And now we've explained all the instances of shlichut yad according to both opinions. Baruch Adonai le'olam, amen v'amen.